Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Brad Powers with us every Friday right here this hour. And Brad, I was just talking about you. I would assume since this week the Big Ten will reopen, the Pac-12 meets today on it. Sounds good out there as well. The MAC's talking. The Mountain West is talking. I'd assume you're pretty happy right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, more games to bet, yep. More opportunities to make some money, a little bit more excitement in the marketplace. Yeah, absolutely. I know a lot of people asking questions about specific teams and whatnot, but, it's a month out from a lot of those teams even playing. A lot of teams are currently playing, and a lot of, you know, the numbers and whatnot to get through at this point. But no question, more teams playing, the more opportunity and just general more excitement for the overall sport.
How much betting do those, let's say, Tuesday night MAC games get historically?
A decent action. I don't have anything specific off the top of my head, but I'm guessing probably at least 5 to 10x compared to like a MAC game on a general Saturday that gets lost in the shuffle. So, yeah, at least 5 to 10 times more than those games.
Are those games historically numerically, meaning the line that's set, are they set well or is there good opportunities?
It really depends on each game.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, there's certainly isolated games. Sometimes there isn't because, the game doesn't get lost in the shuffle.
Right.
Although I would still say more value in those types of games than you know your big time SEC games on a Saturday. Even though that's the only game in town on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, I would still say there's more value in that MAC game than the 3:30 SEC game on CBS.
Steven down in Louisiana says, guys, the biggest under-the-radar game this weekend, in his opinion, is Appy State -4.5 at Marshall. Ask Brad what he thinks about this.
So that is the 3:30 game on CBS this week. Then they moved it to it, so kudos for the extra eyes on the TV set for both of these group of five programs. I'm going to lean with Appalachian State here. I just, they're the more proven commodity. Even though they got a first-year coach, there's some stability with them. I mean, they got a fourth-year starting quarterback. Their new head coach was on the staff last year, and he hired a lot of App State guys. So a little bit more continuity than most first-year staffs. And, you look at App State. I bet Charlotte last week and probably shouldn't have covered that game. I thought App State dominated the game much more than the final. On the other side, what do we know about Marshall? I mean, I think they have a better quarterback than what they've had the last 4 or 5 years in Grant Wells. But, again, they only played an FCS team in Eastern Kentucky. And the more proven commodity, that's not going to be afraid to get – not going to be overly intimidated to go on the road here. App State -4.5 is the lean for me.
Brad Powers with us, bradpowersports.com. Aliquippa Bob says, Brad – Josh in London, Ohio, Big Buckeye, wants to bet me on the Ohio State-Penn State game. He says, please ask Brad if he agrees that the line ought to be Penn State plus 30.
Obviously, that's a little much of an exaggeration, and yeah. I would be betting Penn State in that regard. But, I have Ohio State a double-digit favorite over everybody in the Big Ten at this point if it was on a neutral field. That game, obviously it was scheduled to be played in Happy Valley. I mean, again, what's the crowd situation going to be like? No fans, I think, is what they're saying for the Big Ten. So, the Buckeyes are, at least in my opinion, probably going to be in that close to range as far as, you know, almost a 10-point road favorite at Penn State, which is pretty significant considering, I think, Penn State's a top 15 team. But losing Micah Parsons, and it does look like, I haven't read everything, but it looks like all the Buckeyes are opting back in. So, the Buckeyes are going to win that game. Let's just put it that way. But I'm guessing that the point spread's going to be close to 10.
Yeah, the word is Wyatt Davis and Sean Wade are coming back. I mean, that's what everybody's saying. So hopefully that happens.
Yep.
Here is something, Brad, that came up last hour. John, who lives here in the Nashville area, Madison, and I think he would know, says MGM's actually building a hotel in Nashville. Sports gambling will be legal, obviously, here with all the apps and everything. But I thought originally there was no brick and mortar. It was just going to be the apps. But he says they're building a hotel here, and that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're right about the brick and mortar. I mean, New Jersey's already pretty much overtaken Vegas as far as the amount bet in that state.
Right.
And they're 90% mobile. So, you know, I'm a little bit surprised on the brick and mortar. I think that certainly has to do more with the hotel than the tax write-off in quotation sports book.
Here's another element or item that's been coming up on the show, and I'm not been out of shape about it, but some of the callers, some of the listeners are. They're saying that if with these leagues like the Pac-12 talking about playing 8 games or the Big Ten shouldn't be eligible for the playoffs because of an unequal number of games. And my reply to that is, well, you don't know that your league's going to play. I mean, the SEC's playing 10 or scheduled 10. We don't know if all those games get played. So if you start cutting people because they didn't get more than 8, you may not have more than 8 yourself.
Yeah, let's get to the finish line before we worry about any of that.
I agree.
I mean, it could be, in theory, an issue because, I mean, let's rewind the clocks back to 2014. I mean, the decision to put Ohio State over Baylor and TCU was that all-important 13th data point. You know, in theory, I mean, if you got a Big Ten team with 7 or 8 data points and an ACC team or an SEC team with 10 or 11, that should account for at least something in your decision process. But, again, it's going to, you know, I think if that's the case, I think one loss probably throws you out in the Big Ten or Pac-12 if they are going to be such limited. And the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 teams are able to somehow find a way to play the majority of their games. But, again, we're putting the cart before the horse here. Let's just get to the finish line before we even discuss that.
Well, I agree. And, look, I think the committee, there's no reason to have a rule. The committee's going to vet that out themselves, I would think.
Yeah, you shouldn't have a specific rule to that. I mean, again, committee should be taking that under consideration when we get to that point.
Johnny Vegas, living down in Florida now, but he worked out there in Vegas for many years. Ask Brad, is Cal worth a bet to win the Pac-12 this year? It's a veteran team. He says good defense, good coach, and Cal was 7-0 last year in games Chase Garber started and finished.
Haven't gotten to them yet, but obviously with the defections that we're seeing left and right all across the Pac-12, I mean, Oregon's lost the majority of their players. Again, more than a month out, I'm not going to have a lot of futures bets in these conferences unless I really perceive there to be value. There's too many moving parts right now. If the Oregon players opt back in, the Ducks are the best team in the conference. Pure power rating, you know, I kind of like SC in the Pac-12 South, but, I mean, they did already lose a quality defensive end that opted out, and I honestly transferred already, so he's not going to opt back in for California. I got to see what the practice situations are. And then also I got to read up. I mean, the California and the Oregon schools haven't been practicing at all. I'm wondering if the other 6 schools in the conference have, you know, under the radar a little bit, gotten some extra practice time in compared, because I do think that will matter when they decide to, you know, they kick it off here at the end of October.
Ron is a Cornhusker living in Cleveland, Ohio. And, of course, the Cornhuskers are probably the reason why the Big Ten's playing right now. The lawsuits, their president, Ted Carter, I mean, The whole league owes Nebraska. So Ron's question is, ask Brad what the over and under on the number of beers Buckeye fans buy Husker fans this month.
Well, I mean, I've seen on Twitter, you know, a lot of appreciation for the two fan bases. So, you know, the PC answer would be hopefully not too many, because,
right,
you know, it's social distancing and hopefully you're not doing a lot of traveling and whatnot. But it's just good to see a couple fan bases kind of coming together and getting this, you know, thing done, which, you know, we're taking politics out of it. I mean, giving people, you know, the chance to decide their outcomes. And obviously just seeing the passion for Big Ten football was something good to see, at least on my end.
Brad, here's what I proposed. If you were out, meaning fans listening to the show right now, and you're at a bar or wherever, and you see a Nebraska fan, offer to buy their drink. That's what you can do. That's a nice little gesture, and
yep,
you could say thank you. All right, Chubby says, talk to Brad about this, Bill. He says, I want to back Georgia Tech again this week, but I'm having trouble trusting them versus UCF. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, on some portion I agree with it. I mean, I want to bet on both teams this year, UCF and Georgia Tech. But, I mean, it's tough because we've seen a good data point for Georgia Tech. I mean, an outright upset as a double-digit underdog, and the fact that Georgia Tech probably should have won the game by more than what they did, I would say, you know, I lean Georgia Tech. Again, it's not a strong one. I mean, for old-time listeners, more John Daly's Pizza, if anything. I could tell you there's a lot of really sharp guys in the marketplace that do this professionally are on the dog in that one, specifically getting the hook, the 7.5. The fact that it stayed right there, though, I mean, a lot of times when I see a lot of sharp guys on, you know, the dog and it's plus 7.5, usually I'll see the line come down to 7. And what it shows me is you're getting a lot of two-way action. I don't think the public's necessarily betting this game until tomorrow. So a lot of split opinion on that one. And I kind of have split opinions because, again, like I mentioned at the outset, I want to play on both of these teams. I will say this. I'm a little surprised the over continues to get money. It's up to 63. I'm going to go under. I was impressed with that Georgia Tech defense. And I know UCF's had some guys opt out on the defense side of the ball, but I thought their defense last year was pretty solid. So, and I'm not sure that their offense is going to be hitting on all cylinders in week one. So right now, my best favorite play in that game is under 63.
Brad Powers, Brad Powers Sports. We will let you know how you can get all of his information. We got to get the break. As we continue, use the hashtag AskBP when you send us messages on Twitter, and I'll get those right to Brad. Coming right back, Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. We've seen a couple of wrecks out here in the last 10, 15 minutes getting some attention, including one in the 5400 block of OHB. That's going to put it over in the Hermitage area. Harding Place in Antioch Pike was tied up at that intersection a few minutes ago. As they're still mopping up that wreck in Antioch, Murfreesboro Pike at Forest View Drive. Hey, check out the new chicken sandwich. It's the new Andre chicken sandwich at Princess Hot Chicken. Check them out online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place with the best bowling, games, food and drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment is the answer. And with 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there is a location near you. All open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, and the Tusculum area. And enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, a laser maze, a virtual reality roller coaster, and an indoor bungee trampoline. Strike and Spare is expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, with most of the attractions Hendersonville offers. Like them on Facebook for updates on the new Strike and Spare Murfreesboro. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are also the perfect place for your next gathering, from birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, visit strikeandspare.com. Remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
To former Tennessee Titans head coach Jeff Fisher.
Blood wouldn't pay to have a divider put up in the trailer to where we could divide up offense and defense. So we would send the offense next door. Oh, by the way, they shared a building with a pediatrician and a daycare. So
live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Partly sunny, but a high of 76. Mostly clear tonight, low 52. Sunny tomorrow, high of 75. Mostly clear tomorrow night, low 52. Sunny on Sunday, but a high of 77. And Sunday night, mostly clear, low 53. Utilizing the resources of the Weather Bug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Stye.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Call 615-844-5600. Get in on the Bill King Show.
Shannon in South Bend tweets this, and it's the question I was about to ask next anyways. And here is how it goes, Brad. With Notre Dame's offensive struggles last week versus Duke, do you take the Irish this week to cover against South Florida? The number I saw earlier was like minus 26 and a half or something.
Yeah, it's 25.5, and I'm not anxious to go ahead and lay it with Notre Dame, especially with the total down to 48. That, I mean, that's just not giving you a lot of wiggle room as far as a big point spread and a low total. So a low total meaning there's going to be suppressed scoring. But I'm not anxious to bet South Florida. I mean, I bet against South Florida last week, new coach for them. They did cover the spread against the Citadel, but the Bulls were plus three turnovers. Including, I'm sure you've seen some of the highlights, kind of a fluky punt return touchdown where the punter for the Citadel had some issues with the snap. So I wasn't overly impressed with South Florida. I wasn't down on Notre Dame as much as everybody else. I mean, I just think a lot of people, and I couldn't believe the flack Notre Dame was taking on Twitter, but then after I saw the TV ratings, I could see it was a lot of people that haven't watched Brian Kelly football for the last 10 years. I mean, it's a three-star offensive system with a three-star quarterback. So I don't think they're really well coached on the offensive side of the ball. I think the defense is exceptionally well coached for the Irish. I wasn't down on their performance like most. I thought it was more good Duke. I mean, Duke didn't belong on the field with Notre Dame a year ago, and all of a sudden they looked like they belong at least last week. So I didn't downgrade Notre Dame that much. 25.5 is right where my number is on the game. If anything, I'd lean under. I really expect South Florida to struggle offensively. And again, I don't see it at the wideout position, at least right now for Notre Dame, to be able to extend the lead. So under 48 would be the lean.
They didn't play Braden Lindsey. They said he had an injury, but they didn't tell us until well after the game. He just wasn't in the game, which was kind of weird. Yeah. But that's kind of the way they do handle things, though. There's a lot of secrecy there. But I'm like you. Now Michael Mayer at tight end, he looked good. I thought the young running backs looked good, but I don't see a receiver that scares anybody.
No, not. I mean, and not yet. I think their two best guys, Kevin Austin and Lindsey, didn't play. So
that's true.
We'll see. I mean, once they get those guys in, Lindsey's a burner and proved it to be last year. So, and we've heard about the potential of Kevin Austin. He's never seen it on the field. No, let's just put it this way, Bill. They're going to need those guys when they play Clemson in November, and might even need them against a Louisville team coming up here in about a month. So we'll see what the progress is there. They can't beat the better teams in the ACC, including North Carolina. I'll throw them in there at the end of the year. without those guys. But Mayer showed up. But, I mean, I'll say this. I know you have a couple of those recruiting guys on. The recruiting service rankings are so much better now than what they were 15, 20 years ago. And not everybody, you know, bats 1,000. But, man, do they a lot of hits. Because, I mean, the 2 5 stars that stood out, I mean, and you could just see it last weekend. What was Breeze from the defensive tackle, defensive end for Clemson, and Mayer for Notre Dame. Just two true freshmen in a pandemic year in their very first game stood out. Both guys 5 stars.
Just Business sent me this for you, Brad. He says, ask Brad, a few days ago, 5 Dimes told all its U.S. customers that they had to close their accounts this month and that they were working on a new way to come to the developing U.S. market. He says he just wants your thoughts on that. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation. I mean, I would say this. I would try if you got money in one of those accounts, try to get it out now. Don't wait for it to get into a third party or somebody else. I mean, you're going to have to jump through a lot of hoops and stuff. So disappointing because Five Dimes is one of those places that offered a lot of peculiar bets, as you put it. I mean, you could actually bet on high school football at Five Dimes. It's not like you could put $1 million on one of those games, but yeah, it's been one that I used to promote a ton. I think Bet Online's kind of replaced them in those types of markets, in my opinion. But yeah, if you do have a Five Dimes account and you got money in there, I would definitely try to get that money out now and not wait until, you know, it's more in limbo and it goes to a different party.
Rob in the 210 says, here's my question. Ask BP. Is the total have any value in the over at Western Kentucky at WKU?
You know, I did. I bet the over early in the week at Circa. I thought it was a low number. Market's gone against me a little bit, and I think I probably have a bad bet at this point on the over. But, I mean, Liberty talked about going tempo and really going tempo this year at a fast pace, even though they have a new quarterback and whatnot. And, you know, both teams have the dynamic quarterbacks, mobile guys. You know, Willis, the transfer for Auburn for Liberty, and Pegram, the transfer from Maryland for Western Kentucky. As long as weather's not an issue, I'd still lean over 52. But I'd be a little bit more cautious on that one. Usually when I bet something on a Sunday, the line's going to move with me at least 70% of the time. This is the rare instance where it didn't. So that caused me some concern.
Tony is up in Indiana, says, hey, guys. First of all, he's happy. He's an IU fan, so he's excited about the Big Ten opening. He says, what do you think about bowl games? How many do you think we will have?
You know, I'm not sure on that one. Hopefully as many as possible. I'm a big bowl game guy because, you know, more opportunities to bet. Man, yep. They're fun to bet. They're isolated. You have spread out over 3 weeks. You can really dive into them. And generally speaking, I can win in bowl games. Even if blindly betting all of them, every single bowl game, I think I've actually had a better winning percentage than what I do on just normal regular season games. That's how much I love betting bowl games. So the more the merrier as far as I'm concerned. But again, we'll see once we get to it. I know a lot of people are always, you know, this perpetual excited about the future. And I know a lot of that's college football. That's why they make schedules out 10 years in advance. Right now, I am worried about the games that are going on tomorrow because there's a lot of betting opportunities to be had.
He also asks Tony, and I followed this story a little bit yesterday. He said, what do you think about Deion Sanders? How would he do at Jackson State? Now, Brad, here's what happened to me Thursday. I was driving around. I was in the car, but somebody tweeted, and it was a reporter, that Deion was going to take the Jackson State job. Then there was a tweet not long after that had Jackson State saying, we haven't decided, we've got 3 candidates, and Deion's not one of them. So I don't really know what the heck's going on there, but do you have any thoughts?
Not really. Good recruiter, inexperienced head coach. You can't really get down on FCS games. So no strong opinion as far as I'm concerned. If he took an FBS job, I've had stronger opinions, just put it that way.
I mean, literally, it was reported he's the next coach, and then it was reported by the school he's not on the list. So I don't know what's going on.
That's 2020. I mean, look, everything's a race to be first instead of a race to be right.
I'm telling you, man. That was crazy. And not to be disrespectful, but I would think he'd have higher aspirations than that, wouldn't you?
I would hope so, too. I mean, and I don't know. I mean, if you're following Deion, he's just signed a contract with Barstool. I mean, literally in the last couple of weeks.
I saw that.
So, I who knows?
When Barstool does their college football, like, studio show, or maybe they're outside somewhere, he's on that set now with them. He's part of their college football show. Yeah, so Deion's all over the place, man. That's all I know.
Yeah, and I read somewhere there's a hang-up because he Nike and Jackson State's Under Armour or something like that, and they can't get that through. Again, a lot of speculation.
West Coast Sooner says, ask Brett his thoughts on Okie Light this weekend and this year overall. She's saying, obviously, that's Oklahoma State.
Yeah, they're taking a lot of money in the marketplace. I you know, generally speaking, I like Oklahoma State, but so does everybody else. And I mean, they're very offensively driven at the skill positions. Spencer Sanders back, obviously Chuba Hubbard's back, the nation's leading rusher. A lot of excitement there. And boy, after that, the flare up that they had over the summer and whatnot. I mean, news has been pretty quiet as far as fall camp coming out of Oklahoma State the last 6 weeks, and I think that's kind of a good thing. You know, they're playing a Tulsa team that had to postpone this game from last week because they didn't get a lot of practice time. That doesn't make me very anxious to bet Tulsa, even though I think Tulsa is going to have a really good offense. I guess what I'm getting around to here is over 66 is a very public play, but I like over 66. I'll bet for some scoring in that one over the total.
Brad, bottom of the hour break here. Tell everybody how they can get your stuff, your info.
BradPowerSports.com, dead top of the page. Click on the Bill King tab. Once you do so, you can check out past issues of my newsletter, and you can see what I'm all about. You get a game write-up for every single college game write-up for every single NFL game. I never tell you to buy that newsletter for the picks. You buy it for the information because I put a heck of a lot of time in the information. Anybody can just type up what the bet and what the pick for that particular week. Buy for the info, not for the picks, but I will say this. We haven't lost a pick yet this year in that newsletter. We're off to an outstanding start. So if you want to check it out, go to BradPowerSports.com. Click on the Bill King tab at the top of the page.
More Brad as we continue, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. Traffic still moving down 65 here through Madison. We've seen a couple of wrecks out here getting some attention. 13th at Demumbrium was blocking the intersection just a few minutes ago. As a wrap of that crash in Madison, 400 block of Myatt Drive. Traffic still holding up on 24 up by Harding Place. Hey, Ripley's Aquarium Family Edition Sleep with the Sharks. It's back this weekend. Check out the details. Ripley Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed, this truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, it's spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy?
Mom, you really don't have
to. Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A, B, C, A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
The world's largest indoor cocktail party. The Bill King Show.
Brad Powers with us. BradPowerSports.com. Order all his info. He's very good at this. He's the pro. Brad, I've got a rule of thumb. A couple of years ago, I asked Rob, I'm pretty sure I asked you too, which online offshore account should I get? And I got Bet Online. And here's my rule. I don't keep enough money in there to where if they turn out to be crooks, that it's going to matter, right? And I have never even thought of pulling money out of there because I don't have enough in there to – I mean, it would be stupid to pull $100 out. What would be the point there? So I couldn't tell you if it's easier or hard to get your money out of any of these places. I just know that my setup is to where it won't really matter. If they rip me off, then have your $100 and go have a cocktail on me, you know? Now – Brad, I'm also aware that most people aren't like that. They put some serious money in these things. So I couldn't give you any more advice, though.
I think your advice is pretty sound because, I mean, you hear a lot of people they're saying they're big time. Big time losers. I mean, they're going to lose that money. So
right.
I think your advice would be for an overwhelming amount of people, the way you should treat it. Now, if you're really serious about doing this professionally, then of course, I mean, you should have your money spread out over multiple offshore accounts, just not one particular book. But if you're dipping your toe in the water, I think it's good to have some money in an offshore. Even me, I mean, a lot of guys that do it professionally, they have 15, 20 offshore accounts. I only have a couple just because the horror stories that I've heard about pulling money out. Most people aren't going to be given that opportunity to pull money out. They always want to be putting money in because they're losing, Bill. I think exactly what you did would be my advice for the overwhelming amount of people that are dipping their toe in this industry.
Yeah. I mean, if they rip me out of $100 and that's the worst thing that ever happens to me, I'm in good shape, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, and sometimes it's fun, just to play around. You want to bet some future,
sure.
You know, the $5 on a 100-1 if you think so. I mean, and then if you win and you want to cross that border of trying to get your money out, then you can cross that at that time. I think that would be a good situation. But, if you're asking me what book, Bet Online would be one of the two or three that I think you're pretty safe in, sort of say. Bookmaker would probably be one of the others, although I don't think they're as good as what they were 4 or 5 years ago. I really do think BetOnline is an up-and-comer, at least in the last 3 or 4 years. Popularity, you haven't heard of much horror stories or anything about them about getting money out. So exactly what Bill did with BetOnline is what I would strongly recommend to most of you listening.
Brandon here on Twitter, and Greg Polk sent me a message too, and I've heard from various people on this. And here's in essence what they're saying. Bill, Brad, the SEC, if we're talking about equal number of games, has only played 8 league games for X number of years, and they get in the playoffs every year, and it hasn't really mattered. Is that apples to apples, what we're talking about, though, with the Big Ten or the Pac-12, just regular games?
Yeah, I mean, we're not, because I get it. I mean, they played one conference game less, but everybody's played 12 regular season games, and we're not talking about one game difference. I mean, if we're talking 2 or 3 game differences.
Yeah.
That should matter. I mean, 2 or 3 data points is significant when it's just nothing but conference play. I mean, that's 2 or 3, the quality teams, and whether they're ranked in the top 15 or 20, or they're just, the normal teams ranked like 40th. I mean, having a couple those wins under your belt should matter. If it's just one game, I don't think it should. But if we're talking two or three, and we got a limited data point, limited sample size, but like we like to say in this industry, I would be more willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the team and play more games. That's just me personally.
And here's another note. I'm not a big fan of the committee concept, but I do think the committee will clean all that up. If there's a disparity there, they're gonna take that into account. You have to.
Absolutely. You have to. And I guess if Ohio State's undefeated and they're 8-0 or 7-0, I think they get in. It's where a Big Ten team loses a game and maybe they're 7-1 or 8-1. And you're comparing them to a 10-1 ACC or SEC team. That's where I think it really comes into play.
Johnny Vegas, ask Brad what is his thoughts on the Ragin' Cajun game, and do they merit further consideration for bets the rest of the season?
Yeah, I don't think this week's a great spot for them. I mean, they're ranked for the first time in school history in both polls. They're off a big outright upset win. It was kind of, and they deserve to win the game, but I'm not sure that it should have been a 17-point margin of victory. If you go back through it, when you got a couple of kick return touchdowns, one long pass, and then you also scored a touchdown with 10 seconds left in the game. So I'm very impressed with the Ragin' Cajuns. Again, they were the better team. I just don't think that they were 17 points better than Iowa State. And because of that, I think there's some value on Georgia State. And Georgia State took some very sharp money, sharp betting yesterday. It was 17. It was up to 17, and now it's down to like 15.5. So lean for me would be on Georgia State in that one, plus 15.5.
Jeff, too. Ask Brad what the spread would be on Alabama versus Ohio State down in Miami for the national championship.
I haven't really reflected on Alabama actually practicing and whatnot. I mean, certainly that should account for something, but I mean, pure power rating for me coming into the season, I thought Ohio State was the best team, and I would probably have right now Ohio State probably a 3-point favorite. And major difference for me would be at the quarterback position. I mean, I got Justin Fields versus Mac Jones. Nothing against Mac Jones, and we'll see. Maybe by that time Alabama will have the true freshman will have some action in there, but the advantage at quarterback for me would be the difference there. Ohio State 3-point favorite.
Also, he says, the spread between Alabama and Clemson, which would be over all number five between the two, but part four, he says, for a national championship, what would the number be?
Again, I would have Clemson favored a little bit less, though, probably right around 2 over Alabama. I have Clemson 2 in my power ratings. Again, difference being quarterback for me. I do like the Buckeyes' overall roster a little bit better than Clemson, but again, I've seen Clemson. I haven't seen the other two right now. That should account for something, but again, I don't say this often. In fact, I'm not sure. I've only said it, I think, one other time since I've been doing my power rank the last 6-7 years. I would have Alabama an underdog against Clemson, Ohio State. I think the only other time I've had Alabama not number one in my power ratings in any given year was, I think, 2015 when the Buckeyes had everybody coming back after the 2014 team. That's the only other time in 6 years that I've had Alabama behind anybody in a power rating.
You got to see, obviously, Oklahoma and Texas dominate a inferior opponent. Was there anything there that was better than you thought, considering the competition?
Probably Texas a little bit. I mean, just the fact that they were able to do what they did, pretty much quick work in the first half and to go off without a hitch, sort of say. I was relatively impressed with that. Their receiver core, the depth of it, I was a little bit concerned about that. But with the transfers, Tariq Black coming in, Schooler even caught some pass for them, even though he only practiced for a week. I came away pretty impressed with Texas, but again, they're playing UTEP. UTEP might be the worst team in college football.
Brad Powers with us, bradpowersports.com. My favorite game of the weekend coming up Saturday is the Louisville-Miami game. We haven't touched on that, have we?
We haven't.
What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's the best game of the first 3 weeks. And, it's one of the better games of the first month. I know SEC kicks it started next week, but not a lot of sexy matchups there. I think Auburn, Kentucky is a good one. But, man, if you like college football and you want to see a decent game, Saturday night's for you. I mean, you got two exciting quarterbacks, De'Aaron King, transfer from Houston for Miami, Cunningham from Louisville. They have multiple guys at the skill position that you probably don't know their names, but you should for Louisville. Hawkins at running back and Atwell at wide receiver, two very highly productive guys, two speed guys for them. All the money is coming on Louisville. I agreed with the original money because Miami at the very early opening numbers opened up favorite, but Louisville is now up to 2.5. If it goes to 3, I would lean with the Hurricanes here plus the 3 points. It's just not there right now. It's Louisville minus 2.5. A lot more money also on the over. It's up to 64.5. That's another number. If it continues to climb, and maybe the public wants to bet the over once they get to the betting window that tomorrow and want a high-scoring game on the Saturday night ABC game, if it goes much higher than 64.5, I'm going to fade that and go under. So looking to bet the dog in the under, but not at the current numbers.
Your thoughts on Colorado State transfer Colin Hill? Now he's got Mike Bobo with him. We know that as the coordinator over Ryan Helinski. That announcement has been made. He'll start the Tennessee game.
Yeah, a little bit surprising, but I mean, I'll say this: Colin Hill, if you followed him, his big thing has been health. I mean, multiple knee injuries for him. Had he stayed healthy, he would have been certainly one of the better quarterbacks in the Mountain West, probably one of the better group of five quarterbacks. Obviously knows the system, very much familiar with it, but still, to me, that came off as a surprise. I mean, a guy that is, I wouldn't say a true dual threat, but he certainly has the ability to has some escapability there. It gives him a little bit of mobility from that position. But, again, his entire career has been about health. Multiple knee injuries for him. Had he stayed healthy, I think he'd be more of a household name.
You mentioned the SEC a week from Saturday, and there's not a huge marquee matchup. But that Tennessee-South Carolina game, if Tennessee loses that game, and I know they got off to a poor start a year ago, so I don't want to make too much out of it, but if they drop that game, it's going to cause a lot of doubt, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And very possible they could lose that game. If you're looking at it, comparing it to the other games as far as a point spread,
That's
your most competitive game next week. I mean, it's a field goal game. And, with Tennessee, the practices, being halted a little bit a couple weeks ago and whatnot, the NFC, not a lot of lines up for that game. So I'm not even going to go into it just because one book has them doesn't mean that that's going to be the line on the game. But I do expect Tennessee to be a slight favorite there. If it gets above 3, I'd probably lean South Carolina, but I don't expect to jump in too much on that game. I think that's a game you're going to learn a lot about both teams immediately because I think, again, it's the most competitive game on next week's schedule.
This is a really good question that I should have asked months ago. Royal Payne says, if a head coach is ever out with COVID, does that, in theory, move the line? I should have asked you that in March.
Yeah, it does, but it probably doesn't move it as much as you think.
Hey, Brad, let me interrupt. I'm going to say, wouldn't it depend on who the coach is?
Yeah, it depends, as always, case-by-case basis. Depends on the coach. Urban moved it a couple of points, I can tell you that, when he went out, when Ryan Day took over. That line moved a couple of points when it was announced he was going to be out. So, again, it depends on the coach, but it's not, nothing's going to move a touchdown. Let's just put it that way. The quarterback is still the most valuable to a point spread for an individual game. Obviously, a coach, an entire offseason can revamp recruiting and whatnot, and he's the most important figure. But for a game, coach out or quarterback out, quarterback more likely is going to move the line.
Yeah, Urban got suspended, and I believe the first early tough game for Ryan Day when he was stepping in was supposed to be that TCU game, right, on the road.
Yep, it was.
It wasn't really much of a game, but it was thought to be maybe a little bit of an early season. So you're saying some of those lines did adjust because I don't even remember.
Yeah, a couple of points they moved. I remember looking at it, and obviously Urban, I think he's the second greatest coach in my lifetime. Saban and Urban are the two best that I've seen at the college level.
One more, Josh. You would think Josh would bring this up. What would the spread be? Anytime I start with that sentence, Brad, you already know what's coming. What would the spread be if Ohio State met Oklahoma in Miami for the national championship?
The Buckeyes would be laying, let me think here, about 10 points, at least a double-digit favorite for the Buckeyes. So, yeah, national championship, Buckeyes would be a significant favorite there. About 10.
Brad, tell everybody on the way out the door how they can get your info.
BradPowerSports.com, Bill King tab, top of the page. Click it. Check out the newsletter. It's off to a great start. In fact, a perfect start, NFL and college football so far this season. Unsustainable moving forward. I can't be perfect all season, but buy it for the info, not for the picks. It's $79. BradPowerSports.com, Bill King tab at the top of the page.
Good weekend to you. We'll see you Friday.
All right. Sounds good, Bill. Take care.
There you go. Brad Powers with us every Friday. Boy, he's good. That is a good 45 minutes plus with Brad with us answering whatever you've got. We don't prepackage a darn thing. You ask it, and we'll get it to him, and he will give you a reply. Pretty good hour right there. Let's get the break. One more here on the Friday edition. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. Traffic still moving down 65 here through Madison. We've seen a couple of wrecks out here getting some attention. 13th at Demumbrium was blocking the intersection just a few minutes ago. As a wrap up that crash in Madison, 400 block of Myatt Drive. Traffic still holding up on 24 up by Harding Place. A Ripley's Aquarium Family Edition Sleep with the Sharks. It's back this weekend. Check out the details. Ripley Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Want to talk to you about the folks at Doobie Orthopedics, and I know that you're going to sit there and go, Plaz, what do you know about that? And the truth of it is, not much until about a year ago, right about now. I ended up with some really bad shoulder and neck problems, and I had no idea where to turn. A friend of mine suggested Doobie Orthopedics, and you know what? That friend was dead on right. I find out now they've got over 30,000 customers. There's a reason for that. They are really good at what they do. I ended up choosing the Hermitage location, but they have locations all over town. Frist Boulevard was where I was, with a phone number of 391-4545. I got the individual one-on-one attention that I needed. They set up a plan, and you know what? The plan worked to perfection. I highly recommend Doobie Orthopedics.
Hey Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Saunier, executive producer of WNSR, and I'm here reminding you that Bongo Job at the Omni Nashville Hotel is the best place to start your day in the Music City. Their new limited summer hours and menu is simply the best in town. From burritos to smoothies, plus the new biscuit sandwiches and croissant, Bongo Java has you covered. Located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue downtown, they're open from 7 to 11 a.m. And make sure you tell them Crazy Charlie sent you.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Former Titans coach Jeff Fisher.
Who's grumpy this morning?
Coach, I'm not grumpy.
John, I mean, hey, John.
Yeah.
Pull your head out of your butt. Get yourself in a better mood.
I'll do my best, coach. Thanks for the pep talk.
Okay. You just made a promo for him.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Partly sunny, but a high of 76. Mostly clear tonight, low 52. Sunny tomorrow, high of 75. Mostly clear tomorrow night, low 52. Sunny on Sunday, but a high of 77. And Sunday night, mostly clear, low 53. Utilizing the resources of the Weather Bug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Stye.
Sports Radio WNSR.
While working, he eats kale and pets a cat. Bill King is a multitasker.
That was good, man. Let's recap a few things. Big Ten, things are getting happy up there. I'm getting happier about it, too. Not new news there, but Big Ten advancing towards the reopen. Date would be October 23-24. Couple days old, the news there, but worth rehashing the happy news there. Pac-12 is meeting today. It's a meeting that was already scheduled for other purposes, basketball. But now football will take precedent in that meeting, too. They will discuss their reopen. There is a lot of positivity, seemingly, reportedly, allegedly coming out of there, too. Story should hit sometime today after the meeting, hopefully. Their ambition, I'll use that word again, is to start by October 31st. That might be ambitious, but that's the thinking. Maybe early November, perhaps. But they don't have any wiggle room time-wise. If it's going to be a let's go, getting it time is today. Getting it time is right now. Not let's push it. You push it down the road, you can still play, do whatever, but you're not going to be synced up with the playoff committee and the other leagues. Yeah, you can still play. It's just you're going to get left behind. That would be the concern. West Coast Sooner. Bill, I expect Allen in Tampa to bring his BFG to commitments. Well, considering he's flying, and that thing probably weighs more than the jet, I don't know if he can get that thing on the jet. It certainly won't go down the aisle of a commercial airline. That thing is way too big. Now, if he were to take his bus, but that's a long way. If he took that bus, he'd have to fill up, what, 3-4 times each way? That wouldn't be worth it either. I wouldn't want the pain of that. The only way we get a BFG there is if I buy one, and I don't have one yet. Yeah, Allen beat me to the marketplace there. Yeah, I don't have one yet. Maybe I need to go to my Bet Online account that's got about $98 in it and withdraw the money and then see how far down the road that gets me with a BFG. That wouldn't even buy you the little wheels that go on the BFG, that $98. Yeah, that wouldn't allow the RecTech emblem, you know, the one that's got the bull on it and everything, but $98 probably wouldn't even buy that. Josh said, Bill, that BFG weighs about 900 pounds. I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. Wow. I'd like to have, yeah, I want, you know why I want a BFG? Just because. I have no good reason. I've already got a huge cooker. It ain't the BFG, though. The BFG has swallowed that thing up. The BFG would eat the bull as a midnight snack. And the bull's pretty doggone big. Yeah, it's real big. Shannon in South Bend. Bill, you need to remind Harrison no landscaping this weekend. Or peeing in the wall. Remember that one where he almost burned down the house? You know what's so disappointing about the pee story is my daughters, he was probably about 3 at the time. They would have been about 6 or 7 at the time. They encouraged him to do this. Yeah, the firemen, like people like Pac-12 Dave had to come and check and see if we were about to burn the house down. I was at work at the time. Yeah, Shannon, good point. See, our high school team doesn't have a game tonight. They're off because Metro Nashville canceled. Now they've announced they're going to reopen too, but they're not having games yet. So our team had a Metro Nashville team scheduled well in advance for this Friday, tonight. And that game we knew weeks ago would not get played. That actually counts as a forfeit. You get a W for that, from what I understand. I don't know if that matters or anything, but anyways. Yeah, on that team, one of the best players anywhere has been out so far, a 6'4", 220-pound running back outside linebacker who everybody wants. His name is Keaton Wade. He's class of 22, too. His twin brother's the stud quarterback. Everybody wants him too. And but the higher ranked one, the running back outside linebacker, hadn't played yet. So a week off and more rehab for him. He may be back in 2 weeks. You're talking about a stud now. Both of them. Yeah, absolutely. Both of them. At Crazy Charlie 615 on Twitter. Follow him for all of his expertise. He's versatile. He likes lots of stuff. College football, hockey, the NFL, Major League Baseball, wrestling. Heck, he did wrestling. Market right now. What is this? This is Quad Witch Friday, right? Yeah, in the marketplace. Markets are red. I just looked up. Have not checked Tesla yet. No. I try not to during the show. It distracts me from what we're trying to get done here. But I do mention the markets. They're red. I'll deal with it when I sign off here in a second. At Billa's King, no landscaping. That's because of Shannon. We're going to talk about this every Friday. No landscaping, y'all. If you do that, it snips your line, and then you don't have the internet, and it screws the show up. Lodge Pop.